It's beginning to rain, rain, rain to the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
Hello, friends. This is Jerry Barrett, the pastor's assistant here at Bible Home Church. Please remember that Bible Home Church operates solely through your love gifts, tithes, and offerings. You can mail a check or money order to Bible Home Church, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733, or you can donate through PayPal on our website. Don't forget to send in your prayer requests as well. We will be happy to add you to our prayer list, and we greatly appreciate your prayers for us. This week, we will begin a new series, Who Do You Say That I Am? We pray that you will receive a blessing from Pastor Mars's message. Up next is Alan Jackson with I Love to Tell the Story, after which we will begin Pastor Mars's sermon.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know it satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and I love to tell the story for those who know it best. Seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing, will be the old, old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love.
Today, yes, today could be a change in your life. I have been restudying the Bible again, the New Testament, in fact, the Gospels, and the letters of Paul, in preparation for today's message. It's a message that is life-giving, life-changing, and is more important than any that I have ever given or could ever give. And that's quite a buildup, isn't it? Now, that's because it's not because I had some brainchild and said, let me come up with some great discovery, some great expose. Although I suppose to many people it will be a discovery, and they will have the truth exposed to them, and maybe to you as well. Maybe you'll discover something, even if you're fully versant on this subject, or conversant on this subject. Now, as I studied the Bible, I must tell you that a number of times in researching this topic for today, I got so overcome with enthusiasm and excitement, I literally could not breathe. I had to stop. I had to stop for a few moments and catch my breath. The word breathtaking is very appropriate here. Now, when I give you the title of today's talk, you say, well, I already know that subject. Well, do you really? Are you sure? Because I know of millions, billions of people that don't know it. And there are hundreds of millions that think they do, but they do not. Here's the question that I want to propose to you and the title of today's message. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And we will be examining and answering this question. And by the way, it's a question put forth by Jesus Christ himself. Must have been important to know the answer. He asked his disciples that question. Who do you say that I am? We're going to be looking at the birth and life of Jesus Christ and its meaning, which is colossal for you, me, and all humanity. The birth and life of Jesus Christ and its meaning for you, me, and all humanity. Now, I could have also talked about the birth and life and death and resurrection. We know Jesus died on the cross, but he was resurrected and lives forevermore. And we can talk about that, and I think it's of ultimate importance. Because Krishna and Buddha and all the other gods, Osiris and such, none of them really were resurrected and had witnesses to that. A lot of legends and myths, but there were witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. His tomb was empty. And I suppose the Jews today, if they could ever find somehow archaeologically the dead body of Jesus Christ, they would love it. And then they could announce to the world, he never rose. The Muslims say Jesus never rose too, that his resurrection was faked by Christians. You know, who do you say that I am? If you don't know who Jesus is, you're in big, big trouble. And I found that many people who say they're Christians do not know who Jesus is, so they're not Christians. They're confused. They're mixed up. Maybe they're sincere, though, and that's why God has me to preach this message today. Maybe you're listening to this because you need help. You may not even recognize you need help. Your denomination, your church, your pastor, or your misreading and confusion from reading the Bible has led you astray. Now, I have found when I look at all the false cults, whether Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons, or the one that Oprah Winfrey has been very involved in, you know, A Course in Miracles, it's called. I find the same thing. They simply don't know who Jesus is. This Jewish guy, Bernie Lazar, started a group. He called himself Tony Alamo, or Alamo, take your pick. A lot of people glammed onto the guy, and he had a big ministry going because he was against the Catholic Church, and he was a Jew who had been saved and became a Christian. But I knew right away the guy was a fake because I read his material and I could see that he didn't know who Jesus was. He said he believed in Jesus, but he didn't know who Jesus was, really. He didn't know the gospel, didn't know the Bible. Everybody would write to his text, why don't you have Tony Alamo on your radio program? He's a great guy. He's a great Christian. He's really fighting in the Catholic Church. Well, I knew he was a fake. And in due time, he was exposed for having sex with underage girls and incredible other horrible things, and now he's in prison. Some people say, well, Tex Mormonism is of faith just like, you know, other Christians are, because it's just that they have another Bible, another new, you know, like a second New Testament. Well, indeed they do. Well, text Jehovah's Witnesses believe in Jesus. I know I had two witnesses come by my house and they told me all about Jesus, and it was the same Jesus that I know. Well, then fine. Go on to the Jehovah's Witnesses Kingdom Hall. By the way, have you ever noticed they don't have windows in Kingdom Halls? Don't have windows. Can't see out. Well, I can't see in either, my friends, because they don't know the gospel. They don't know Jesus. They say that he's the Archangel Michael. You see, all these strange thoughts come around. Well, today we're going to talk about the real Jesus, and we're going to answer the question, I hope, the right way. If Jesus were to come into your living room and talk to you today, what would your answer be if he said, who do you say that I am? Well, we start off with that exact question. It's found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verse starting with verse 13. Jesus, it says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea and Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Ah, yes, my dear friends, this is a question that every person must answer prior to going to the throne of God and being judged. And your answer will reveal where you're headed, for eternal life or eternal destruction. Whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So we know then that Jesus, by his very testimony, is Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, is there more that we can find out about him and discover about him? I want to assure you, my friends, I have a whole list of descriptions of Jesus. I find in the scriptures, he's not only the Son of God, but did you know he's King of the Jews? Oh, yes. John Hagee, Pastor John Hagee, said, oh, no, Jews don't need Jesus. He never claimed to be King of the Jews. My friends, there's no nation on this earth. There's not one corner, there's not one square millimeter of this planet that Jesus is not Lord of. And the Jews are not exempt from the power and authority and title of king, which they will find out to their dismay unless they repent. But Jesus is a healer. By the way, he's king not only of the Jews, but of every Gentile nation, and he's king of the living. You say, well, of course that would be true, but he's not king of the dead. Ah, I hope I get to that part of this, because that's an interesting statement, isn't it? Jesus is king of the living, but not the dead. He's got authority over the dead, but he doesn't concern himself with the dead, except to offer them life. But if they reject it, then they have their own king. But we'll talk about that. Jesus is prophet, the greatest prophet who ever lived. Jesus is Savior. John the Baptist, when Jesus came to him to be baptized, said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The Lamb of God. The one sacrificed, you see, the Lamb to be sacrificed. That taketh away the sins of the world. That means he was a Savior. He came to save the world. Jesus is the one who sits upon the throne. He is the Word of God. He is the well of living water. He is the Lord of the resurrection. He is the bread of life. He is the light of the world. He's the keeper of God's doctrines. He's the father of freedom and liberty. He's judge. And he's creator. You go back to Genesis, it tells us that God created the earth. The whole universe, in fact. God. Now, I had a man who argued with me several years back, and he says, Tex, I thought I heard you say in your sermon that Jesus created the earth. That was before Jesus was ever born. I said, is that right? He's, oh yes, it was God that created the earth and everything in it and all the heavens. I said, well, Jesus is one with the Father. He's God. No, but you know, he was born into the world. You know, that's, have you ever read the Gospel of Matthew, text? It says he came into the world as Emmanuel, God in the flesh. But before he was ever born, God had created the world. Well, there again, we have confusion, you see. Now, let's just go to the book of Colossians. You know, the word in Latin there is very interesting. This was written to the people of Colossae, or Colossae, O-E, C-O-L-O-S-S-O-E. You may pronounce a little different than me. I have Texas accent to my Latin, I suppose. But I know how to spell it. But Paul just called them the citizens of Colossae, or Colossae, whichever one you want to pronounce it. But the Latin word produces the word colossal, meaning gigantic, incredibly large, incredibly huge. And then I think it's sort of appropriate that in Paul's letter to the Colossians, the colossal ones, he said this. Listen to this. This is chapter 1, starting with verse 11. He's talking about the people there who are Christians, who have come to know and love Jesus. He talks about them. Wouldn't you love to hear the Apostle Paul talking about you? I would. And he says this, these wonderful things with you. About you, he says, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Right away we see he's king. He has a kingdom. He has a kingdom somewhere, doesn't he? And if you know Jesus as Lord, you have been translated. That means you've been made a citizen. You sort of like you've been naturalized or spiritualized. It really is. You have this inheritance. You've been delivered from the power of darkness. And now you've been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. Verse 14 says, in whom, now that's the dear son who has a kingdom, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. He's a redeemer, isn't he? He has the power to forgive sins. Verse 15 says, who, still talking about now, the dear son of God, who has this kingdom of God, and he's translated you into it if you know him, and you have been delivered from darkness, and you have been redeemed. And it says, who, that is Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. God is a spirit. Now Jesus is his very image. For by him, that's Jesus now we're still talking about, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Jesus was there before all things, or you might say anything, existed. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, how many things? All things, he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Jesus is the very fullness. Elsewhere, the Bible says that Jesus is the entire Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost bodily. In him is the entire Godhead. Some people can't understand that. It's a no wait text. But it says in 1 John that there are three that bear witness in heaven, and these three are one. How can three be one? I always go back, you know, to the old, I remember when I was a kid, my mother had this old sewing machine. It was the kind you'd have to sit there and move your feet, you know, and it'd go, you know, that, I don't know what you'd call it down there. Not really a pedal, but it was a great big old pedal. And, you know, the old Singer sewing machines, that's the only kind I knew, you know, and they weren't electric, you know, they was, you have to do with your feet and they would move, you know, and the, okay, I'm not much of a sewer, so forgive me for not being, you know, extremely knowledgeable about all that. But I remember that every once in a while my mother would have put a little oil in it. And the oil was called 3-in-1. And I always wondered, so I took the little can and I put a little oil out while my mother wasn't around. And I thought I'd see three different kinds of oil, but they all looked like one. They had all sort of coalesced together, you might say. 3-in-1. I was always a mystery to me about that 3-in-1 oil. Well, it seems that the verse in John, for there are three, but they're one, is a mystery to many people. And so they want to deny one part of it or another of that formula. See, God is a great mathematician, though, friends. There are three that bear record. And, don't ever forget the and. These three are one.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky, it's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.